ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि संयाति नवानि देहि The 21st verse, what is mainly said is, we had a long bhashyam, but I'm going to sum up again when I finish the few more verses. There's one argument I have to explain, I just went fast. See, the jnani, atmajnaha, who's atmajnaha? Atmajnani. Atmajnani or atmajnaha? The one who knows the self is the self himself. One who knows the self is the self. That means what? For him, the atmajnaha claims, I am the self. I am the self. I am Atma. Not this Atma. Not in Sanskrit I am. Okay? I am English Atma. I am saying. Aham Atma. Aham Atma. I am such a person. What is the nature of the Atma? Actionlessness is the nature of the Atma. Therefore, what is Atma? Atma is Akarta, the non-doer. Why Atma is Akarta, non-doer? Because actionless is the nature of the Atma. Therefore, the Jnani who knows the self, who knows the self is the Atma himself. Therefore, Jnani also is Akarta, non-doer. What does it mean? Jnani also is Akarta means it is not possible for him to do any karma anymore. Jnani cannot do any karma. Why? Because he is free from doership and he is also free from enjoyership. Why? Because he is akarta. That means, then does Jnani perform the action at all or not? Jnani performs actions physically. Jnani performs action. Jnani does speak. Jnani does think. Jnani does perform actions physically. For what purpose? Loka sangrahartam. Okay? But as he did, that means he performs actions, but not all his actions are not impelled by his desires. That is what I'm saying. When Ajnani also performs actions, Jnani also performs actions. But what is the difference? Ajnani's actions are impelled by his desire, pressure of his desires. Whereas the Jnani's actions are not impelled by his desires. Why? Because Jnani is free from desires. Well, how he is free from desires? Because he is free from needs also. How he is free from the very needs? Because he is free from very inadequacy. How he is free from inadequacy? Because he has discovered fullness. He is already free. Please understand one thing. Jnani is already liberated. Jivan Muktaha. A Jnani is already free while living. He is a liberated. He is already liberated person. Already free. Already free from all the limitations. Because being free from all the limitations, living in the body, he is free from inadequacy. He is free from needs. He is free from desires. Therefore, all his actions are not impelled by his desires. It means what? One more thing I have to say. Jnani performs actions. Understand? And whereas Jnani's actions are impelled by his desires. And second thing, Jnani does not need to do, Jnani performs actions only for the loka sangraham, well-being of the society around, people around. Why? Because Jnani is not dependent on karma phalam for his happiness. Why? Because he is already free. Whereas Ajnani performs actions expecting the results, and he is dependent on the karma phalam for his results of actions for his happiness. This is a very important thing. And one more thing I want to tell you here, very important thing is, why we say this, how do we say Jnani is not dependent on the karma phalam? Because when Jnani performs the karma, because he is already free, already he has accomplished. He is a person of accomplishment already. He doesn't need, therefore Jnani's performance of karma is not performed as a sadhanam, as a means for antahkarna shuddhi, or for fulfilling the desire, or for preparing himself for jnanam, or for preparation for jnanam and moksha. Why? He has already accomplished moksha. Understand? That is why Ajnani performs karma for antakarna, for the given karma phalam. He is dependent on the given karma phalam for his happiness, and he is performs for antakarna shuddhi, not prepare for jnanam and moksha. That is the difference. That is why Ajnani, really speaking, Jnani need not do karma also. Jnani does not perform karma. Jnani does not perform karma as a means for jnanam or moksha or for any given particular. You have antakarna shuddhi. You can't say Jnani performs action for antakarna shuddhi. Why? He is already Jnani. Without antakarna shuddhi, he wouldn't have had the jnanam. Understand? And there is no special desire also for a jnani to do that. That is why vidushaha sannyase eva adhikaraha. It is not possible for a jnani to do any karma. And he is free from doership because he is free from the notion he is the doer, because he does not have identity with the body mind complex anymore. He claims, I am Atma. Atma is non-doer, so Jnani also is a non-doer. Therefore, for such a person, definitely it is not possible to perform a karma himself, nor can he really instigate another person also do the karma, nor can he make another person do the karma. That is why kam hanti, katham hanti, kam ghatayati, kam katham ghatayati. Listen, he cannot do any karma, nor can he instigate any karma for happiness, for moksha, or for jnanam, or for preparing for jnanam, or for antakarna shuddhi, or for fulfilling a desire. Jnani cannot perform karma at all for any of these reasons. Jnani does perform the karma only for the well-being society, but still Jnani is not the doer. Okay? This is the main teaching. This is the actual nutshell, the teaching of the 21st verse in a nutshell. But there one objection comes. What is objection? There is always a Purvapakshi. Okay? You have to get used to this Purvapakshis hereafter. Purvapakshi. Purvapakshi means what? One who raises objection. Okay? Objection and always wants some answer. And who would have been the Purvapakshi? Always there are people who say, oh, for moksha, jnanam alone is not enough. One has to perform karma also along with the jnanam, along with the pursuit of jnanam for moksha. There are some people who still like to do things. Okay, like, I want to do that and this. That pressure is still people who have that. They will still say, no, mere knowledge is not enough. We have to do karma also along with the. Yeah, you can do as much of karma as you want to do, as many karmas as you want to do, no problem. That shows how restless and how you need to do karma. But don't say for moksha karma is not required. For moksha jnanam alone is required. Why? Because moksha, the happiness, is already there. Happiness is limitlessness. It is something to be known. That is why knowledge. Knowing what moksha is, what happiness is, attaining moksha. Understand? That is why you don't need to do any karma there. But for that jnanam, for the preparing your mind, you need to do karma. That is how you can become subtle and sharp, and therefore you'll be eligible to gain that knowledge. Therefore you do karma. That's a different thing. But there are people who say, no, we have to perform karma also along with the jnanam. And such people are known as, it's called synthesis of karma and knowledge. They say, people say, knowledge and karma together alone will lead to moksha, will result in moksha. Mere knowledge is not enough for moksha. They are called jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha. Say that? Jnana karma samuchaya vadinaha. Okay, samuchayaha means what? Synthesis. And so, what happens here, Shankara quoted a verse when he completed his bhashyam saying, he established, what he established? It is impossible for a jnani to do any karma. Why a jnani cannot do any karma? Because jnani is free from doership and enjoyership. Why? Jnani, Atma himself. And Atma, what is Atma? Atma is Akarta. What is Atma? Atma is the nature of actionlessness. Second thing, jnani is already free person, need not do any karma, cannot do any karma as a means for accomplishing something. Because already accomplished person. He performs actions for the loka sangraham. Loka sangrahartam jnaninaha karma kurvanti. Natu atmanaha santoshartam va anandartam va jnaninaha karma kurvanti, karma naiva kurvanti. Why? Because it's not possible. That is the teaching. Then he said, how does a jnani, has the luxury of reveling in knowledge? That is to say that Shankara quoted a verse from 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He is writing a commentary on some verses, 21st verse of the 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He is quoting a verse from 5th chapter. What is the sloka? Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. This jnani naiva kurvanna na karayanna, neither performing himself nor instigating other person to do the karma. This jnani has the luxury of reveling in knowledge, where this non-gated city of the body. Okay, sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. What is the word? Sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. This dehi sukham aste. Dehi there means who? You can say dehi literally means, we can say the subtle body is a dehi from the standpoint of the physical body. But generally, dehi ultimately means what? The reality, Atma. What is the dehi? Where is the dehaha? And understand what I'm saying? In dehi means subtle body, dehi also means what? The Atma, the self. Why do we say that? But subtle body travels. Subtle body leaves its gross body, goes to other physical body, assumes another body, etc. We talked about the travel, journey on the part of the subtle body. But when you say Atma does not travel, understand? This is why this word dehi, you have to understand carefully. We mean, sometimes we give two meanings. One meaning is, dehi, the subtle body, which leaves the physical body and assumes another body. Dehi also means what? Ultimately, the Dehi, the essence, essential nature of the everything, is also called Dehi. So, Atma. So, here, the Dehi, when you say, Navadware Pure Dehi, okay, in nine gated city of this body, Dehi, Dehi here means the Atma, okay, Sukham Aste. Okay, we can say the jnani has this luxury of reveling in knowledge. How? Naiva kurvanna na karayanna. Without doing any action or without activating other person. There, this purupakshi, this jnana karma samuchaya vadi, not takes a picture of this one word. What is that word? Sanyasya aste. He takes the word sanyasya. Takes the word sanyasya and what he says, no, no, this jnani performs actions until his prarabdha gets over, till the last, until he dies. Until he dies, jnani performs actions. Understand, at the time of death, he transfers his sannyasya, the word sannyasya he takes, he transfers his actions to the body, okay, and he dies. Jnani transfers his actions to the body, then he dies. That means along with the body, actions also will resolve. But till the, understand what I'm saying, till the last minute, he performs actions. This is the Jnana Karma Samuchaya Vadi's argument. What does Shankara say? While living in the body also, Jnani, okay, without causing other person, without activating, without doing, he lives. I mean, without doership, why? Even if the Jnani lives in the body as a Jivan Muktaha, still he is Atma. Why? He knows the Atma. What is, listen, as an Atma, when he claims himself to be the, he doesn't say, I am the body, mind's complex. Hey, I am the self, and he says, he is free from doership and enjarship, because Atma doesn't do any action. Therefore, he doesn't do any action. But still, it is said, so that is what Shankara quotes that verse, but this Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi comes in between, and he says, no sanyasyaste, Dehe sanyasya, look at this. Dehe sanyasya aste. So this karma, this jnani, till the last minute, until he dies, he performs actions. He is jnani, that's true. He is free, that is true. But still he performs actions till his last minute. But just at the time of death, he transfers his actions to the body, and when the body dies, karmas also, disappear. That means what? Don't say, Jnani does not perform, naiva kurvan. Understand? That Jnani does not perform actions. Kam hanti, katam hanti, don't say that. Jnani performs actions. Jnani does perform actions. Therefore, what is his argument? Along with jnanam, karma also is mean, together, jnanam with karma is the means for mokshaha. So Shankaracharya comes to tell you, he gives, he beautifully presents, he says, come on, the word sannyasya, first thing understand, jnani does not perform any action. Why? Because Jnani thinks he is an Atma, not Jnani thinks, Jnani claims he is Atma. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness, therefore Jnani does not perform any action, that is point one. Second thing he says, the sannyasya, listen carefully, the Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi says, the sannyasya, the word nyasaha, nikshepaha, nikshepa means the placing. See, the word sannyasya, The mere dhatu nyasaha. Nyasaha means placing. Nikshepaha. If I say, Rodney ji, phone, No, nyasyati means what? Nyasyati means places. But sannyasyati means renounces, gives up. Understand? Therefore, the word sannyasya with the prefix, the nyasa dhatu root, with the prefix sam does not mean, okay, cannot be used in the sense of placing. It definitely, it means only giving up or renouncing. Understand? Therefore, you cannot say jnani places the, transfers the actions on the body or places the actions on the body. Understand? Till his last minute, till the, he dies, you cannot say that. Grammatically, it is not acceptable, first thing. Shankara says this. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a bit dull time to listen to this grammar and all those things, a lot of stuff. They're very, very beautiful. I tell you, Shankara thinks so beautifully. You should see the beauty of it. That is why I decided I'm going to do, first I'll do this, the pre-preparatory class. Then I'll do second preparatory class for Gita Homestead. How to understand the Bhashyam. I have to give some tips for you. Then if I do Bhashyam, you'll understand that also. If these two things I'll do, my class will be perfect. I had to do that because I had to prepare you for that. I understand only, it took so long for me to understand how, what all I should do for you. Because of your exposure to a lot of other studies and things, and then you be, what you know, no, all those things. That's a very big thing for me, okay. Is it clear now? See, nyasaha means, nyasaha ityukte nikshepaha, okay. Nikshepaha means placing or transferring. Whereas sannyasaha means, with the prefix sam, it means renouncing. So jnani, therefore sannyasya, the word, cannot be used in the sense of what? Placing or transferring. Once it can be used in the sense of placing and transferring, therefore, and you cannot say the jnani performs actions till the last minute. Last minute, just before he dies, he transfers his actions to the body. It cannot be said. Okay? You are wrong. Shankara says you are wrong. And other thing he says, even if you say the transfers his actions to the body or places his actions on the body, and if you say that, the transferring also is what? Placing also is what? An action. When already you have said jnani is akarta, and how can he do that? How can he place his actions to on the body? That is not meaning. Second point, okay? That's not possible. The one more point is, he says, if you say jnani is, then you say jnani place, performs actions, the second sentence, naiva kurvan nakarayan, that sentence will become redundant, it will be useless. Is it clear what I'm saying? You can't find all those explanations there. You cannot find it all there. Okay, if we say, the naiva kurvan nakarayan, that sentence cannot be explained. Understand? Therefore, don't give wrong meaning here. Sanyasya, ityasya, kimartam nikshepartaha nakart. Why should we not use? I'm using also anandagi in between. That's why you can't find my answer there. Why can't I find a meaning here? Why can't I give this meaning? No, why can't I say jnani performs actions until he dies? Why can't I say that? Simply, some argument, okay? So Shankara has to say all these things. No, even if you say, okay, jnani transfers, performs actions till the last minute, till he dies, and last minute he transfers his actions or the, places his actions on the body, then he dies. Now along with the body, the actions go. You can say that. Even the transferring or placing is what? An action. But already what have you understood? Jnani is akarta. So it is not possible. Okay, first thing. So another reason is, other reason for argument is, other thing, for one objection, Shankara gives three answers. Is it clear now? And the second thing he says, this nyasa shabdasya eva placing iti meaning. Okay, the meaning of the placing or transferring is only for the word nyasaha, not for the word with the prefix sam sannyasaha. Mister, therefore, what he says is, it is not possible. And second thing, Jnani is already free. And it is not, he does not perform karma for the accomplishment of something. He cannot accomplish anything anymore because moksha is the greatest. Understand? Jnani cannot accomplish anything anymore by doing karma. That is why he need not do, he does not do. But he still he does for the loka sangraham. Not as a means for accomplishing something. Why Jnani cannot accomplish anything anymore? He has already accomplished the accomplishing which everything else becomes as well accomplished. Therefore, he cannot perform action as a means for accomplishing something. And if at all you say he performs actions, no, then he performs actions till the last minute and last, before he dies, he transfers the actions to the body, even if you say also. The second line, naiva kurvanna karayan, that sentence will become remain redundant, okay? You can't give, what meaning can you give for that? So you can't say only take half one word of the sentence and give some meaning and rest leave the rest. No, you have to give meaning for all the words correctly. Therefore, you are wrong. Please understand, Jnani is Atma himself. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Atma is Akarta. Therefore, Jnani also is Akarta. As a Jnani, he is already accomplished a person. Therefore, he need not do, he cannot do any karma for accomplishing something. As a disciplined thing, he only performs for the loka sangraham. So, Jnani does not perform any action. Jnani, vidushaha, sannyase eva adhikaraha. Vidwan is, okay, eligible only for renunciation of karma. Jnani is eligible for renunciation of karma. Why should we represent all these things? To make us understand, come on, you still have some lingering desire to do something for the sake of karma. Please, that is why we need to know all these things. All for making the buddhi sharp. Don't think all unwanted arguments. People think, oh, it's all highly intellectual, unwanted, dry argument. That's not true. It makes us think a lot. This is the way Vedanta prepares, makes the mind subtle and sharp. Understand now? Okay, now we'll go to the next mantra. We already just went last class. And please remember, the word Dehi means subtle body. The Dehi also means the Atma. Is it clear? So, now what happens? Always, Shankara, what he does, he always goes out of the subject matter. What is the main topic under discussion here? Nature of the self. But where has Shankara gone? He has gone out of the topic of nature of the self. He had to talking about whether jnana karma samuchaya. No, he did, because there he has to establish what? Jnani is the non-doer. For what? He has to refute the jnana karma samuchaya vada. He has gone out. Understand? Therefore, he is coming back to the thing. Okay, now let us go back to our actual topic. What is the actual topic here? He says, nature, discussion on the nature of the self. Prakritam to, say now. Vakshyamaha. Oh, did we finish this? Yeah. Actually, anyway, nikshepartha, tyagartha. I had to tell you something more here. It doesn't matter. No, I just explain this again. I'll give the whole, all, I'll present all the arguments together. See, prakritam, whenever we say prakritam, prakritam means what? Prakritam means the subject matter under discussion, okay? The topic under discussion, already under discussion is what? Prakritam. Now let us go back to our, what actually we've been discussing. Tatra, Atmanaha, Avinashitvam, Pratijnatam. Tat kimiva iti uchyate. So that Atmanaha Avinashitvam, the indestructibility, the imperishability, of the Atma has been established. How Atma is indestructible? Because it is of the nature of changelessness. Atma is of the nature of changelessness. This is the main thing. Atma is of the nature of changelessness, not subject to change at all. Why? Because it is all pervasive. Because Atma is all pervasive, Atma is indestructible. Atma has the nature of changelessness. Therefore, it is, that's why no karma is possible on the part of the Atma. Akartrutvam, the absence of doership on the part of Atma is because of the nature of its changelessness. Understand? So, therefore, it also indestructible. How Atma is indestructible? Because it is of the nature of changelessness. This has been established earlier, before. How Atma is indestructible? Kim iva, like what? One example, okay? The example is asked. Kim iva, like what? Very difficult to give example, okay? Like what? How, like what? Atma is indestructible. So here, Atma is the reality anyway. So here, vasamsi yatha, okay, you see that.
Vasamsi
jinani yatha vihaya. Vasamsi jinani yatha vihaya. Navani grinnati naroparani. Nigrinnati naroparani. Tatha sharirani vihaya jinani. Tatha sharirani vihaya jinani. Anyani sanyati navani dehi.
Anyani sanyati
navani dehi. So here, in this context, the word dehi can mean the subtle body, can also mean what? Atma. Why you have to say Atma? Because avikriha, the word avikriha is used in the meaning, the bhashya. So, yatha naraha jirnani vasamsi vihaya aparani navani grinnati. Just as man leaves aside the old worn out clothes and takes to the new one, similarly, the dehi also leaves aside the old bodies and takes the new bodies. When you say, here does Atma take? Atma, just now we saw, Atma does not, there is no travel on the part of Atma. That means, who do we mean here? We had to understand one thing. The gross bodies which are tangible, which are perceptible for all of us, all our bodies are perceptible for all of us, they are subject to get disintegrated. They have birth and they have death also. But the death means what? It's a change. Death is nothing but big change. Understand? That means this is relative destruction. Already we are told about the relative destruction. There is no such thing called total absolute destruction for anything in this creation. Why? Because everything is basically matter. And everything is matter, either in subtle form or in gross form, everything is matter. And we know even in science, matter is not created, or matter is not destructible also. Understands? All other cultures we can't answer. because our, at least we have some, we, ours has more than what even the science tells. So here it is very clear. Therefore, it's a very simple thing. So this physical body is subject to destruction, relative destruction. What happens? It gets disintegrated into five elements. It is nothing but modified form of five different elements. This physical body, which is the modification, combination of five different elements, in fact, gets disintegrated and becomes one with the elements. That's all. That is the change. And what happens to the subtle body? The subtle body die. Subtle body does not die at all. But subtle body also, subtle body has an end. How it will resolve? When will subtle body resolve? Subtle body, I tell you, subtle bodies will disappear, understand, like this physical body, only when Mahapralayam takes place. When the deluge, the universal deluge, you know, when the whole universe gets destroyed, I mean, dissolve, that is the time subtle bodies will, and also will resolve. Subtle bodies also will disappear. But we won't be there to see the dissolution taking place, the whole deluge taking place, and then to see subtle bodies, how they disappear and all that. Is it clear? Just the Shastram talks about it. But what we can understand, this subtle body continues to live forever. How long? Until the jnanam takes place. As long as ignorance will be there, understand? As long as ignorance is there, there will be what? Erroneous self-perception. As long as erroneous self-perception is there, there will be superimposition of the limitations of the non-self upon the self. And as long as there is superimposition of the attributes of the non-self upon the self, there will be sense of limitation. As long as there is sense of limitation, there will be inadequacy. As long as there is inadequacy, there will be needs. And as long as there will be needs, there will be desires. And as long as there will be desires, I tell you, you can never undo desires. Okay? Desires and rebirth is definite. Okay? Nobody can ever destroy the subtle body. Subtle body, and according to one's own Pura Punya Pap, okay, whatever Punyam or Papam one has, according to the Pura Punyam, it assumes other body of any species. We don't know whether human body or any other body, we don't know. Anyway, the subtle body continues to survive. Even subtle body does not get destroyed. What about the Atma then? Even subtle body is not subject to destruction. Physical body alone is subject to destruction. Means what? It is relatively destroyed, not absolutely destroyed, because available in different form. Understand? But subtle body is not, subtle body survives death. Even subtle body survives death, but subtle body will resolve. That is what is said to be liberation of the soul. Understand? Which you do, I never like to talk about, because we always want to know what happiness is while when you are living. When there is a jnani and if a person lives his parabdha, when the jnani dies, the jnani subtle body will resolve. It will not assume another body again, it won't be born. Why? Already free. I think it needs to be accomplished. In jnanis, there is no desire is possible on the part of a jnani. There is no desire. Why? There are no needs. There is no inadequacy. There is no sense of limitation. There is freedom already. Understand? Therefore, such a mind has been resolved. All the subtle and all the indriyas will resolve. When the jnani dies, subtle body will resolve. Again, subtle body will not be there to assume another body. That is why non-assumption of another body is what? Not being born again is said to be the liberation of the soul, videha muktihi. Videha muktihi. Freedom after death. Freedom while living is jivan mukti, and videha mukti means if you are not free while you are living, and the freedom after death is not possible. Just before, at least now, I want to become free. That is videha mukti. That is how subtle body will be resolved. Until knowledge takes place, subtle body cannot be resolved. It's only resolved, it is not destroyed. That's what I'm saying. It is like when you see the water, oh, there's no wave. What is there? It's only water. This understanding, resolved, this understanding is what? In the veka, the knowledge of the truth of the wave being water, you say there is no such thing called wave in the real sense. There is wave as though. What is there is only water. This understanding what? Resolving the wave in terms of knowledge. Like that, when you say, really speaking, all that is, there is only reality. The second thing other than Brahman, the wake of that ascertained knowledge, in discovering limitlessness, there won't be, thoughts will not arise. Because the desires will naturally go. Understand what I'm saying? The desire itself is what? Expression of disturbance. Disturbance is caused by what? Smallness. Why is smallness? Because the sense of limitation. Why isn't there sense of limitation? Because there is a notion that I am a limited being. Why is a being? Because of the superimposition. Why superimposition? Because adhyasa, erroneous perception. Why there is error in perception? Because of ignorance. Ignorance gone, ignorance born, all other problems also go away. Therefore, desire is not given up. Desire is not suppressed, desire is not destroyed, but desire is resolved. Understand the difference what I'm saying? When the desires are resolved, I tell you, for good, that is how resolution of the mind. When the mind is resolved, please listen carefully, in the wake of the knowledge of the self, in discovering what happiness is, in discovering what fullness is, discovering what limitlessness is, naturally error in self-perception also will be corrected. When the error in self-perception is corrected, naturally the superimposition will resolve. Then the notion, I am small, that notion, sense of being limited, the sense of limitation will resolve, then inadequacy resolves, then needs will resolve, then all the desires will resolve. Desires are not suppressed or destroyed. Desires resolve themselves naturally. Okay, the total resolution of desires is freedom from the hold of desires is what? In fact, resolution of the mind. When the mind is resolved, all the sense powers, powers of organs of action, all the five pranas also will resolve. For a jnani, when the prarabdha gets exhausted, when the jnani subtle body departs the gross body, it will resolve. Understand? This is how subtle body will resolve. Subtle body is not destroyed. It will resolve. So who can undo subtle body? Tell me. Nobody can undo subtle body. Nobody subtle body can be destroyed by anybody else. This is the nature of subtle body. So subtle body subject to get resolved. Gross body subject to get disintegrated. There is no total destruction. There is relative destruction. And what about the Atma? Nothing happens for Atma. Atma is always the same. Atma does not resolve. In fact, everything resolves in Atma. Therefore, Atma is not subject to destruction at all. Even subtle body is not destroyed, it is only resolved in the wake of the knowledge. Then what is Atma? Then Atma is the only reality which is manifest as everything, therefore which is of the nature of changelessness and which is, therefore which is indestructible. Is it clear now? That is what is said here. Therefore, that is why he says, like what? When the person takes the new clothes, new dresses and throws away the old ones, the person does not change. The person is the same. Similarly, Atma does not change when the new bodies are taken up. Atma is the same. Why? That is the nature of the matter. It is constantly changing. Okay. Vasamsi. Simple bhasham. Vastrani. Jirnani. For every word, Sankara gives a beautiful meaning. Vasamsi is equal to Vastrani. Vastrani is equal to what? Clothes or dresses. Jirnani is equal to Durbalatang Gatani. Durbalatang Gatani means what? Weak, worn out, torn clothes. Torn ones. So, Yatha Loke. Why Yatha Loke? We use the word. In generally, what is seen all over the world? What is seen? Now, what is widely known is Loke. Vihaya. What is the meaning of the word? Vihaya Parityajya. Vihaya is equal to Parityajya. Parityajya is equal to giving up. Okay? Casting off, throwing away. Then Navani is equal to Abhinavani, new ones. Navani, Abhinavani, he gives a different meaning, okay? New ones. Grinnati. Grinnati is equal to Upadatte. Upadatte is equal to takes to, picks up. Okay? Holes. Okay. Naraha is equal to Purushaha. Here Naraha literally means what? A human being. Okay. Aparani is equal to Anyani. Anyani is equal to what? Others. Other new ones. Tatha, like that. Tatha means what? Tadvat, like that. Like what? Okay. Like the man throws away the old ones and takes the new ones. Tadvati eva, similarly, sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani sanyati. So, sharirani, jirnani sharirani vihaya anyani sanyati. Sanyati means what? Sangachati. So, this dehi takes to the atma, takes the new bodies, giving up the, okay, leaving aside the old bodies. Navani Dehi. So Dehi here he means Atma. Purushavat Avikriyaha Eva. Purushavat Avikriyaha Eva means what here? Just Avikriya means the person does not become different one. When a person throws away the old clothes and he changes the new clothes, okay, he puts on new clothes, he doesn't become a different person. Avikriyaha, the same person is there. Similarly, Atma remains Avikriyaha. Even the bodies change, but the Atma remains the same. The simplest meaning, okay. Shortest bhashyam Shankara has written on this verse, okay. We'll see all big bhashyams. Each bhashyam will go for 4 classes. Bhashyam and each verse will go for 4 or 5 classes. Okay. Kasmata avikriyaha eva iti. How do you say atmanaha swarupam avikriya, atma avikriyaha? How do you say atma is changeless? How do you say atma is of the nature of changelessness? See, till the 30th verse, all these verses only talk about the nature of the self. So, Atmanaha Swarupa Lakshanam is discussed in these verses from number 11 to 30. Okay, now we are in the 23rd verse. So here he talks about, in this verse, he's going to say how even the five elements, okay, cannot destroy Atma. What is there in this universe? The whole universe is five elemental model. All that is here is nothing but five elemental product. Five elements cannot cause any destruction to the Atma. Cannot do any harm to the Atma. Therefore, elemental product also cannot cause any destruction to the Atma. That is said in the 23rd verse. Let us read it now. Nainam chindanti shastrani.
Nainam chindanti shastrani.
Nainam dahati pavakah. Nainam dahati pavakah. Nachainam. Nachainam kledayantyapo. Kledayantyapo. Nasoshayati marutah. Nasoshayati marutah. Nainam chindanti shastrani.
Nainam chindanti
shastrani. Nainam dahati pavakah.
Nainam dahati pavakah.
Nachainam.
Nachainam.
Kledayantyapo.
Kledayantyapo.
Nasoshayati marutah.
Nasoshayati marutah.
See, here we have some verbs. Look at this. Chindanti. Chindanti means what? Cleave. Cut. Okay? And dahati, another verb. Chindanti is a plural verb. Dahati burns. And another verb, see the second line, kledayanti. Kledayanti. Kledayati singular, kledayanti plural verb. And kledayati means wets, drowns. And soshayati dries up. Okay, soshayati. So here, na yenam chindanti. So chindanti, cut or cleave. And shastrani, na chindanti. Shastrani means what? Weapons. We have different here. Astram and shastram. Astram also means weapon. Shastram also means weapon. Listen. Astram means what? Anything which can be thrown from distance, okay, to destroy something else. It's called astram. If I sit here and throw from here something to kill you, kill other person, or destroy other person, it's called astram. Asyate iti astram, okay? But shastram means we hold a knife, a sword in my hand, and, you know, stab somebody, it is shastram. Shastram and astram. And we also have some mantras, etc., with which by chanting it constantly I can just undo a person. It's also called astram, okay? I don't want to do all those things anyway. Astram, astram. Astram means, see, you hold a weapon in a hand to destroy somebody, go and stab somebody or kill somebody. The weapon which is held in the hand to destroy other person, stab somebody, kill somebody, is called shastram. Now, astram means which I throw it from distance like arrow is astram. The sword is what? Shastram. Like that. Anyway, so here shastram, I don't need to tell you all these things, but still I want to tell you in between. So, shastrani, shastram means singular, shastrani, plural here, shastrani na chindanti. Weapons do not cut or cleave or destroy whom? Yenam. Yenam means what? This person, which this atmanam. Yenam atmanam. Weapons do not cleave this self, cut this self. So, weapons stand for what? earthen. Any weapon is earthen. Basically, it is a metal. Metal is from where? From the earth. Therefore, we say, it implies the earth element, okay, in subtle form or gross form, cannot cause and bring about any destruction to the self. Earth element or anything earthen cannot destroy the self. Is it clear now? That is what? So the Shastrani stand for earth element. So Yenam Atmanam Shastrani Na Chindanti. Then Na Yenam Pavakaha Dahati. Pavakaha is fire. And I told you, in Sanskrit Bhasha, Sanskrit language, we have many synonyms to mean one substance, one vastu. And here, you know why Agni is called, fire is called Agnihi. Agre havir nayati iti na devataha prati. Agre havir nayati iti Agnihi. One who takes the oblations in the fire ritual to the devata is called Agnihi. But here pavakaha means punati iti pavakaha, one who purifies. In Sanskrit there is no other language. It has every word highly expressive. Why fire is called pavakaha? Because punati iti pavakaha. Punati means what? Purifies. How does it purify? By destroying everything in it. I tell you. I understand. Everything it burns up and purifies. It kills, that's why. So, let's say we also use heat for sterilizing everything, understand? Because it purifies. So here, pavakaha, the fire, na enam dahati, it does not burn the self. Okay, enam is only a relative pronoun, sorry, this is a pronoun here, and which implies atma, which is already under discussion. So, enam atmanam pavakaha na dahati. Then, apaha na kledayanti. Apaha cha enam na kledayanti. Apaha, you know, up means water. And in Sanskrit language, always we use the word water in plural word as waters. Apaha. Up means water. Apaha is waters. We don't need to say as waters. Okay? We can simply say water. But here the word is used in English, I mean in Sanskrit, I mean plural word. It's a plural form. Waters do not wet the self, or no, I can say drown the self. Water cannot drown the self. Then, marutaha na soshayati. Air does not dry up the self. Here four elements are mentioned. And space also you have to understand. Therefore, the space also cannot do any, you know, harm to the self. So, all the five elements, in short, five elements or the elements, elementals, cannot bring about any destruction to the self. Why? Because self is the subtlest. Self is the very existence. How can a wave destroy the water? Why? The very wave is dependent on the water for its existence. Like that, the self, the reality, the consciousness, which lends existence to all the elements, subtle elements and the gross elements, everything. How can the elements destroy the Atma? And how can the elementals destroy the Atma? And nor can the water destroy the wave. Understand? That also we have to understand. Water also cannot destroy the wave. There's no need. In fact, nothing destroys. But wave is water. Therefore, there's no need or that it's not possible. Even the water will not destroy the wave. Nor will the wave, no, nor can the wave destroy the water. Similarly, the elements and the elemental products, which are nothing but no manifestation of what? I'm going to talk about this Devi anyway. I'll tell you again this one. So, they're dependent on this Atma. How can they destroy? So, it's generally said, and we talk about the killing, we talk about this destruction and all these things. all the so-called destruction are only what? The matter alone is involved in destroying the matter, only relative destruction. If something is burnt, please listen carefully. If something is cut or cleaved or destroyed, only relative destruction of a given matter, material product, not the Atma. Something is burnt, what the burning fire also is matter, and what gets burnt also something material, not the Atma. If something gets dry, wet, okay, something gets drowned in the water, okay, water itself is what? Matter, matter, and the what gets drowned all is what? Something material. And when you say the marutaha, so should the air is matter, and anything is dried up by the matter is also what? Something material in nature. So, understand now, see, a matter, any a material product can bring about change on the part of another material product. Only change can be brought about, if nothing can be destroyed for good. It is called relative destruction. It changes the one form into another form. Destruction is what? One form will be, one form is transformed into another form. The change of form is the relative destruction. So a given material product can bring about a change on the part of another given material product. Really speaking, Atma cannot be harmed or destroyed, okay, or touched, tainted, affected by any of the elements or by all the elements or any of the elemental products. That is the teaching. Why? Because subtlest thing cannot be destroyed by the gross thing. Okay, this is literal meaning. I said, we'll see the Bhashyam now. Nainam chindanti iti.
Nainam chindanti iti.
Yenam.
Vedam.
Prakrutam.
Prakrutam.
Dehinam.
Dehinam.
Na chindanti.
Na chindanti.
Shastrani.
Shastrani.
Okay, see, Shankara gives a beautiful meaning here. Look at this. Yenam prakrutam dehinam. What is the prakritam? Whenever the word prakritam comes, okay, the dehi who is under discussion, the dehi, you can say the subtle body cannot be, this first understand, please understand here. Even somebody comes and stabs somebody, okay, then another physical hand can stab another physical body, but not the subtle body. Understand? The sukshma shariram cannot be destroyed. Why? A subtle body, when you say very, the very adjective subtle body tells what? Anything external to the physical body is gross in nature. A gross thing cannot destroy a subtle thing. Is it clear now? So, suppose somebody somebody kills me, comes to stab me, if I say, what does it mean? Other person's gross hand is holding the gross sword and stabs this gross body, but nothing happens to the subtle body. That is the meaning, understand? So that is subtle body. Second thing, what happened? Even subtle body cannot be destroyed. What about the Atma then? What about the ultimate Dehi? Dehi in ultimate sense is what? The Atma, the consciousness, definitely nothing happens. Understand? When everything happens within the realm of consciousness, reality, nothing happens to the consciousness here. Therefore, it said here, prakritam dehinam, the dehi who is under, the nature of this self which is under discussion now, that, okay, the self, the Atma, listen carefully. The Atma, okay, the Atmanam, Shastrani na chindanti. Weapons do not cut. Why the question comes, why cannot weapons cut the atma? Because he gives reason, nir-avaya-vatvat. When nir-avaya-vatvat. Say that?
Nir-avaya-vatvat.
See, avayavaha means limb or a part, but avayavatvam means what? Having the status of, you know, enjoying the limbs. That which has limbs is what? Okay, avayavavan. But nir-avayava, avayava means what? Free from limbs, free from parts. What is the nature of the atma? We said atma is one partless, indivisible, partless whole. The consciousness is happens to be one indivisible, partless whole. It is what? It is limbless. It is partless. Okay, partless one cannot be cut. That's the reason he gives. Suppose savayavam, see now, savayavam shariram. This physical body is savayavam shariram. It has many parts. As head and trunk and legs and hands, we have these parts are there. Anything which has parts, anything which has limbs can be cut into pieces. But anything which is partless whole, that which is partless whole, cannot be cut into pieces. Understand here? So, nir-avayavatvate, due to its nature of being partless, indivisible, partless whole, atma, the dehi which is under discussion, cannot be destroyed. Is it clear now? So, subtle body also cannot be destroyed. Atma Chaitanyam, of course, cannot be destroyed at all due to its partlessness. Okay? Okay. Na.
Na.
Avayava.
Avayava.
Vibhagam.
Vibhagam.
Kurvanti.
Kurvanti.
See, Chindanti is equal to, Shankara gives a different meaning. What's the meaning? Avayava vibhagam, separating the parts into many is what? Avayava vibhagam is called cutting. Cutting means what? Cutting means separating many into many parts. Separating or dividing something into many parts is cutting. See, smallest verb is explained here. Chindanti is equal to cut. Can you explain the word cut in English language? And he, Shankara, gives, avayava vibhagam, avayava vibhaga karanam. That means what? Something separating or dividing one into many parts is called cutting. And that is not possible here. Weapons do not cut the atma. Why? Because atma is partless, indivisible, partless, whole. Then, shastrani.
Shastrani.
Asyadini.
Asyadini.
Okay. Okay, shastrani means he says shastram and also astram. He uses both, okay. Similarly, weapons also, okay, weapons. Shastrani he says asyadini. All types of weapons do not cut the atma because of its what? Due to its partlessness, due to its one indivisible whole, partless whole. Due to its nature of being indivisible partless whole. Then, tatha na yenam dahati pavakaha. Tatha yenam na dahati pava. Similarly, the fire also does not burn the self. Agnihi api. Say no?
Agnihi api.
Shankaracharya gives other meaning. Pavakaha, what is the meaning he gives? Agnihi. Agnihi api. Say that?
Agnihi api.
Na bhasmi karoti.
Na bhasmi karoti.
See, dahati is equal to what? Bhasmi karoti. Dahanam is equal to bhasmi karanam. Bhasma means ashes. Okay? Reducing something into ashes is equal to burning. What is burning? Burning means reducing a given thing into ashes. This explanation. So here, Atmanam, Atman, Bhasma means ash. Okay? And what, that's why we say, even the vibhuti we keep here, that's a Bhasma only actually. Anyway, so Bhasmi Karoti, Yenam na dahati pavak, Agni api na Bhasmi Karoti, it's impossible. No, fire cannot reduce the Atma into ashes like it can do anything else. Tatha
nacha
enam apaha kledayanti. It's very, see, that's nasato vidyate bhavo. That is a very, very, you know, strong verse. This verse sounds very simple and easy, okay, but still you have to understand how well they have thought of a subtle thing cannot be destroyed by any gross matter. And consciousness does not come within the realm of matter. Understand, matter is not outside of consciousness, but consciousness is not, okay, not the matter. Therefore, the matter and the anything material is dependent on, matter is subject to change. It is interconvertible. It can be energy. It can be in any form, gross form, subtle form, or much subtler form. It undergoes, but with all these changes happen within the realm of what? Consciousness only, not outside of that. But consciousness is nothing to do with the material thing or not the matter. For gross or subtle, the matter being dependent on consciousness cannot do anything to consciousness. That's the Atma. Tatha
nacha
yenam kledayanti apaha. So similarly, the waters do not wet or drown the self. Why he explains? Apamhi savayavasya
vastunaha
ardri bhava karanena avayava visleshapadane samarthyam tat na niravayave atmani sambhavati. See, very beautiful. Ardri bhava karanam kledayati is equal to kledanam is equal to ardri bhava karanam. Wetting something, okay, or drowning something is, the water can drown or wet something, okay, it can make it loose and separate something. Only if something is with parts, savayavam means what? One with the parts. But niravayavam, a partless one, the water cannot do anything. You put the notebook in the water, it can take pages after pages, it can get soaked and water light, and slowly one can be taken away from the other, separated or parted. So anything which has parts alone can be drowned or wet by water. But here the Atma being niravayavam, Atma is not the savayavaha, it is niravayavaha. Therefore, Atma also cannot be, water also can work, destroy, bring any change only if something has limbs and parts. Is it clear? Okay, last sentence, let me finish it now. Samarthyam means what? water has the capacity to, capacity to really bring about change or destruction on the part of something which has parts. But Atma being partless, indivisible partless, one, water also cannot do any harm to the Atma. Tat na nir avayave
Atmani
sambhavati tatha snehavat dravyam snehasoshanena nashayati. Vayuhu. See, snehavat. Snehaha, listen, what a beautiful word. Snehaha means sticking. Snihyati, snih dhatuhu. Very interesting, listen. Snih means what? Snih means to stick, okay, to get stuck. And snihyati, the noun is what? Snehaha. That is why friendship also is called snehaha. Why? Emotionally locked. Emotionally very difficult to take. Sticky. Okay? That is friendship also called snehaha. Your name is Neha, not Sneha. Okay. Snehaha. Snehaha is amazing, isn't it? See, something which can be taken as sticky, okay, is called snehaha. Friendship is called snehaha. Oil also is called snehaha. Snehaha. Any pasty thing is also called snehaha. Anything to sticky is called snehaha. Oil is also called snehaha. Ghee also is called snehaha. That is why we always light the lamp with the oil in India. Light the lamp. Okay. Of course, in this country you don't have oil here, so you have to only candle. And we have all forms of oil, varieties of oils. So here.
Sorry.
What?
We
all import oil, don't grow seeds here and then. Everything had to import. We grow seeds, we grind seeds, we have our own oil there. You have to import everything here. Only in December you have only Christmas trees can stand here. And all the trees become very what will you do for the sun? 6 months you have to what will you do?
Yeah, we import the sun.
Huh? Of course. Because anyway, those who have more have to give generously to everybody. So we always give, don't worry. India will always give. Give will be giving. Doesn't matter. So because nothing is looked upon as different from India, that is why. You can always see no problem. So here, what to say here? Snehaha. So snihyati is the verb. Snehaha is the noun. Understand? Now anything sticky, what happens? He says, snehavat dravyam. An object which has oily substance in it, okay? Snehavat dravyam. Sneha soshanena. When the oil dries up, what happened? Nashayati vayuhu. That means snehavat dravyam, sneha soshanena, nashayati vayuhu. The vayu, the air can dry up the skin. That is why our skin also, why do you have use all varieties of creams here? As long as your cream is there, you maintain the oil thing, then the skin is protected. The oily substance is removed from the skin, the more it, more and more we allow it to be dry, is destroyed. Understand? So here, vayuhu soshayati. How does it dry up? He says, sneha soshanena, by drying up the oil, taking away the oily substance, oil from the water, from anything which has oily. ஏனம் து ஆத்மானம் ந சோஷயதி மாருதஹ அபி. ஏனம் து ஆத்மானம் ந சோஷயதி மாருதஹ அபி. See, generally we say, what is that which dries up our anything, you know? Generally the vayu has the capacity to dry up things. It dries. Therefore here this can dry up anything else but not the atma. Then what does the shlokam say here? Hey, all the five elements what we know are the gross elements. Gross elements cannot destroy even the subtle elements, their own subtle elements. And why should we talk about the other things then? What about the very cause of the subtle matter? The gross matter cannot destroy even this gross matter. A gross matter, please listen carefully, the gross material product can bring about a relative change on the part of another gross matter. The gross matter cannot destroy even subtle matter. Understand? And therefore, of course, the subtlest matter, it cannot do anything. And what about the consciousness? Not even the matter. The matter exists depending upon the consciousness. Whereas consciousness exists independent of the matter. Understand? Therefore, five elements cannot, in any form, are the five elemental products also, nothing can destroy this self, the ultimate dehi, the consciousness, the atma. Okay? So here, I want to tell you one thing, because we talk about the matter. Listen carefully. This universe, I'm just talking about something here, again repeating, because she asked me for the Devi, because Navaratri is coming up. See, the whole universe is manifestation of what we say the matter, the material product. Why do we say it's material product? Because it is inert in nature. Inert in nature means what? Nothing in this universe is aware of its own existence. It's a material product, we say. And all this, then we know only the what we see through physical eyes is only gross universe. There's also subtle universe which cannot be perceived through physical senses. The imperceptible, the subtle universe is imperceptible through the senses. And how can we understand that there is something called subtle manifestation also? We have by knowing our own mind, our own pranas, our own sense powers, our own powers of organs of action, our own physiological functions, which form, which constitute the subtle body, which is known only to, my subtle body is known only to me, my sense powers are known only to me, my mind is known only to me, similarly your mind is known only to you. I cannot know your mind, you cannot know my mind. Why? Because it is not perceptible. Why it is not perceptible? Because it is subtle. Because it is subtle, it is imperceptible, that's why we call it subtle. Understand? Similarly, but the gross is what? The entire gross universe is perceptible for all of us. But the subtle is what? One's own subtle body is known to, one's own subtle aspects are known to oneself, not to other people. But still we can understand the subtle, there's a subtle universe. And the gross and the subtle together we say universe in its entirety, in subtle form and gross form. This universe always exists. Please understand clearly. Universe also has no beginning. Universe has no end. Universe can never, never be destroyed for good. Understand? It is always, universe also is eternal. And it is the material product. It is a manifestation of the matter. And this manifest universe, when you say it, it cannot be destroyed, it has no beginning, it has no end, but still it is of the nature of becoming manifest and unmanifest. Why? Because the matter, the cause of the universe, is of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. That is why law of uncertainty is there, because nothing can be certainly said about the nature of the matter. Anything you prove today, tomorrow somebody else will come and say that will be refuted tomorrow. This is the nature of the matter. So the whole universe now is always be an unmanifest and manifest and unmanifest manifest conditions. When it becomes totally unmanifest, we call it pralayaha. And we cannot stay there and see the pralayam. Like how we see our crackers, no? We cannot see, we want to see. Nobody, we cannot see the pralayam, maha pralayam of the universe. The total deluge of the universe, we cannot see. Why? Because we are also part of the universe. Understand now? That is why. We cannot see the whole. And it becomes unmanifest. Again, it becomes manifest. So the universe never becomes totally destroyed, but it is of the nature of becoming unmanifest and manifest and becoming constantly, it is there manifest or becomes unmanifest. And when the universe is unmanifest, so when we say before the manifestation of the universe, where was it? That's why we say there's a causal universe. Universe always remain unmanifest. The unmanifest universe is called causal universe. Causal universe means what? The universe in its potential seed, unmanifest form is called causal universe. Understand? And the name given to it is called Maya. Maya. Unmanifest universe is Maya. Maya means people think something. So the subtlest form of matter is what? Maya. And Maya, in Maya, and say the whole Jagat remains unmanifest in Maya. Whole Jagat is, the unmanifest universe is called Maya, in fact. I don't know what's unmanifest in Maya, okay? The unmanifest universe is called what? Unmanifest, the universe in its potential unmanifest seed condition is called Maya, subtlest matter. Okay, and we can say, and it is manifest, this universe. And you understand what is this Maya? Where does it exist? Understand? So the universe in unmanifest condition is called Maya. Manifest condition is called universe. Where does it exist? It needs a locus. It needs some substratum. The constantly undergoing, constantly changing universe, which is manifesting and unmanifesting, no? All the time, you should have some substratum, which is a changeless substratum. A changeless substratum is required for the constantly changing Jagat. There is no such thing called total non-existence, total absolute non-existence, absolute destruction at all. There is a constantly changing material Jagat, which has its that substrate, which has a constant, changeless, no, eternal, absolutely eternal, changeless substratum, the support for it, that is consciousness. Understand? And to understand what is Maya, you have to analyze our deep sleep state. There is no way of understanding what is Maya without having analyzed your deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, when the universe is not there, okay, when no perception does not take place, universe is not there. Universe is, but the what is not there, the knowledge that the universe is not there. In deep sleep state, what happens? The universe exists. What is not there is the knowledge that the universe is not there. The knowledge that I am is not there. Understand? Therefore, when the universe, the knowledge that the universe is being not there, is said to be total ignorance. Total ignorance is what? Unmanifest knowledge. Okay? The unmanifest knowledge is equal to total ignorance. Therefore, for us, ignorance means not absence of knowledge, it is unmanifestation of knowledge. Okay? And this, so what is said to be, that's called avidya, with the individually. So the, see, the unmanifestation of the knowledge, the knowledge being not there that the universe is what? In fact, that's what you have to understand. As with reference to the whole universe, we say Maya. The total ignorance, the unmanifest knowledge, with reference to the whole universe is called Maya. Is it clear? And we say the total ignorance, the knowledge being unmanifest in deep sleep state, is known or not? Is known. Total knowledge, the universe being, the knowledge that the universe is being not there, is knowledge being unmanifest. The knowledge being unmanifest, okay, is what? Total ignorance. With reference to the entire universe, we call it what? Maya. And that is known or not in deep sleep state. When you wake up from sleep, you say there was no knowledge. I slept very well. There wasn't any knowledge. I was not aware of anything. Means what? I did not know. I did not know that the universe was. I did not know the Jagat was. I did not know that I was. That means universe was, I was, only I did not know. That means what? There was no knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, the knowledge being not there is what? Knowledge being unmanifest. Knowledge being unmanifest is what? Ignorance. Understand? Knowledge being not there is knowledge being unmanifest. I had to come here now. A to B. See, okay? Knowledge being not there, knowledge that the universe is being not there, is knowledge being unmanifest. Knowledge being unmanifest is ignorance. And ignorance is known. Knowledge being unmanifest is known. How? When you wake up from sleep, you are able to say that. Being known, there is a knower. The knower is who? Consciousness. Listen. Therefore, does this total ignorance, total ignorance is, we use the word total ignorance, but I use the word Maya, okay? Does this Maya, with reference to the entire universe, we call this total ignorance as what? Maya. The unmanifest knowledge. Does it exist outside of consciousness? No. It is known. So when this universe is there, when you say universe is, the knowledge that the universe is manifest. When you say universe is not, universe is. The knowledge that the universe is not there. Therefore, knowledge is either manifest or unmanifest. The unmanifest knowledge, manifest knowledge is universe. Unmanifest knowledge is Maya. And whether knowledge is manifest or unmanifest, it is not outside of consciousness. And we say this Maya is the subtlest form of matter. Causal matter, causal universe. And we say, even though we use the word Maya, unmanifest knowledge, and this is not outside of consciousness, when I say there is no distance between consciousness and the unmanifest knowledge, the Maya. There's no distance. Like what? Like there's just as there's no distance between water and the wave, there's no distance between the light, illumining light and the illumined object. There's no distance between consciousness and the unmanifest knowledge. I can say one more example. Just as there's no distance between stillness of the water and the water. When you say there is water is still, there is stillness of water, and the stillness and the water are inseparable. Stillness has no independent existence outside of water. In fact, stillness is water. Water can be without the stillness, without being still. Water can be disturbed. Water can be even in disturbed condition. Understand? But stillness cannot be without the water. Stillness is not dependent. Stillness is dependent on water for its existence. But water is not dependent on the stillness for its existence. In fact, stillness and water are not two different things. Stillness is nothing but water. There's no distance between stillness and water. When you say there is still water, I see the stillness of the water, even the of the water, etc. I use. There is no possessor-possessed connection. Stillness is not separable from the water. There's no distance between water and the stillness. Is there stillness? Yes, it is. Is it really there? It's not really there. But it is as though. Why? It has no independent existence. And what is the reality? Water. This is how the unmanifest knowledge and consciousness. Understand? They are not two different things. When the knowledge is unmanifest, it is consciousness. When the knowledge is manifest, also is what is consciousness. Understand? And we say, they are two different things. It's a very, very profound thing. And we say, when the stillness of the water is disturbed, and there are big waves and ripples and drops, and then, you know, all that sprinkling drops and things, even then, water is the same. Water has undergone any changes. What has been disturbed, what has undergone change is the stillness. Stillness is not there, waves are there. Waves are resolved, stillness is there. In stillness, what is one and the same is water. In waves, okay, in what waves and the stillness, one thing which is unchanging, okay, unchangeable thing, unchanging thing, changeless thing is water. What, understand now? What resolves is what? The waves. What resolve is? What resolve? The waves resolve, there is stillness. Stillness is disturbed, there are waves. Like that. Knowledge is manifest, jagat. Knowledge is unmanifest, maya. What is there, unmanifest and manifest condition? One thing unchanging, unchangeless, consciousness. That is the Atma. That Atma, the consciousness, one indivisible, partless whole. In fact, our Devi is the personification of this Maya. And you say, when you say personification of Maya, inseparable from the Pati Purusha consciousness, okay? That is why we say, as that's why inseparable two things. Because you look at Maya as material cause. The unmanifest knowledge, we look at it as material cause, matter. It is Devi. Devi is the personification of the knowledge unmanifest. And the same Devi, knowledge which is manifest, the whole jagat is nothing but Devi. And which has its existence in consciousness. That is why we say the problem also is Devi, solution also is Devi. This is a very beautiful meaning for Durga, you know. Nambitaji, it's very, very beautiful meaning. Listen, Durga, when you say, it means two things. Very tough, difficult, unbearable situation, insurmountable situation, problem in life is Durga. And what is solution for that? You have to overcome that, no? You have to overcome that, then become free from that. First, handle it, deal with it, put up with it, bear that, overcome that, then become free from that. What do you want for that? Clarity of vision, understanding. Okay? And you need clarity of vision to become free from the problem. That is also what? Durga. Clarity of vision also is Durga. Manifestation. Then, you need what first? Before you have clarity of vision, until you get the clarity of vision, you become free from the problem, you have to manage, put up with, deal with that, handle that, and try to overcome it. You need strength. And what is the strength? Where is the strength? Not outside of you. It is already there, but unless you discover the strength, you are weak. Strength you never get from outside anywhere. You have to discover strength from yourself. But to discover the strength you have, that is why you don't go anywhere outside, okay? You have to discover strength from yourself. You need grace. You need grace to discover your own strength. But for the grace, what you need to do? Pray. So pray, tap the grace, with the help of the grace, discover your own, in the hidden inner reserves of strength and fortitude. That's also what? Durga. The grace which one taps as a result of one's prayer, which helps one to discover one's own hidden reserves of strength and fortitude, is also Durga. The problem is Durga, solution also is Durga, everything within the realm of what? Manifestation. When you say all is only one thing, everything must be within one. The second thing is not there. That is why, in fact, when you say any problem comes, gross problem comes, the arrogance, height of arrogance, ahankara, because it's naturally, ignorance is natural, uncreated. And because of ahankara, there is agyanam is there. Because of agyanam, naturally there is adhyasa, erroneous self-perception called adhyasa. Because of adhyasa, helplessly there is adhyaropaha. All the superimposition of all the attributes of the non-self upon the self. And naturally there is a sense of limitation. And what happens? And there is an identity with the body. The eye sense is so rooted in the body, mind sense complex. Nothing wrong, but you should also know the reality, Aham buddhi, eye sense is so rooted in the body, mind sense complex. And all these, the attributes superimposed upon the Atma as I, because you mistake the body sense complex for the I, then what happens? The arrogance also is what? The gross arrogance, subtle arrogance. I am very strong physically, If I slap because I'm so huge in size, I'm very strong, I'm very big, then what happens? Also arrogance, the gross level. And I say, I know a lot, I know so much, intellectual arrogance. others don't know anything. So subtler the arrogance, you need more subtler, much powerful, more powerful weapon to undo that. Then first comes Kali. Kali comes and destroys the arrogance at one level. Then manifests who? Lakshmi. At a subtle level. Much subtler level, Saraswati comes. Shumbha, Nishumbha, Chanda, Munda. All different, all mind, negative tendencies. Devi comes, Saraswati comes. Manifestation. Problem is Saraswati, solution is Saraswati. Problem is Lakshmi, solution is Lakshmi. Problem is Kali, solution is Kali. Durga. Solution is Durga, problem is Durga. Understand now. So, whether the universe is manifest knowledge. The universe is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. The universe is unmanifest, knowledge is unmanifest. Unmanifest knowledge is unmanifest total knowledge is what? Maya. Unmanifest manifest knowledge is the universe. This is Devi Shilama. Today, because I think after this lesson, I won't be tired of talking about Durga at all, because it's a very beautiful thing, because where you reduce everything into one. Even the how many times you repeat, still makes it very clear, isn't it? That is why we use these two words. That's why I want to do this 2 days program. Why? Because I teach you all this stuff correctly, systematically. If I have taught all the technical terms earlier, it would have been much easier for me to do this. Now I can't stop. See, jnana karma samuchyavada, I had to stop. What is it I had to tell? What is jnana? What is karma? What is jnana karma samuchyavada? What is a vadi? Who is the person who comes and objects? Purupakshi. How can it go ahead? That is why, let me do first 2 day program. I'll cover in general Vedanta, generally Vedanta. Then afterwards, I do another 1 day program for you who are all the other schools of thought, people of other schools of thought, and who come out with what sort of doubts. Okay? Why in other school of person, and how Shankara refutes their thinking. For that, I need to general. Basically, no, you don't need to know all the schools of thought, but at least what is the basic thinking, how they come, and how Shankara refutes the standpoint of, that I want to 1 day program separately. First, I had to do this 2 day program coming Saturday, Sunday. Shrima, coming Saturday, Sunday, we are doing 2 full-day program to teach the from morning 9 to evening 5 or 4. Yeah. Because I wanted to teach them all lot of basic preparatory lessons I had to do. One thing I can teach other stuff. And once I do that, Pitaji, one day when I do that, then I can sum up from 11th verse. I had to tell you other things. I think I can try to give you some notes also for that. Because who are all the people? One thing I need to sit and write. I'm lazy, that's all.
You just talk something and get somebody to type it up. Just
put
somebody by the computer.
No, sometimes I put it in my own, because these are the things. Yeah. Sometimes I have to use direct speech.
Yes.
I shouldn't be using indirect speech. So when you write something, or if you think of writing it as an indirect speech. Mm-hmm. Because Vedanta Shastram, many a time you have to use direct speech. You can't use indirect speech. It's not like writing. That's the difference between. That's why Vedanta, we don't have explanations for the Upanishads and Gita. If you imagine people write notes on Gita and Upanishads. It's not like any other literature. You can write a for given poetry and prose, you can write notes, explanatory notes, etc. Lot of things you can give. And here, this is something different. Because so much, you know, when you talk, it is easy. Because very simple. You put in writing, so much you have to write. Talking is easy. Secondly, you have to understand here. And then that is why repeatedly listen to the same thing. Or listen to teaching again and again and again, become clear. Anyway, I'm thinking of I'm doing this one day program after 2 day program. It will help you to understand the Gita, because now I know. Because I was about to say this, Jnana Karma Machevada. Then I felt last week I just stopped. Now because I can't finish the Bhashyam if we talk about all those things. And what is Jnana Karma Machevada? I had to tell that. I had to give a background of the person who objects. If I go to explain to that, then I can't finish the Bhashyam here. I'm leaving you with the Bhashyam. And what is the main thing here? We are supposed to understand the nature of this self. See, it's only to why Shankara brings in other people of other schools of thought who have their own views for us to become very clear, not to have any doubt at all. What? Mokshaha. Knowledge is the means for mokshaha. In fact, knowledge of the self itself is discovery, knowledge of moksha. It is attainment of moksha. Moksha is not something to be attained at all. Let us be very clear. The basic thing, and these are the things you have to say. Don't go to Upanishad and Gita teaching. Don't go. It's a waste of time. You had first thing, introduction to Vedanta. Not even introduction to Vedanta. Just Purushartha Nischaya. Make it very clear. That is very, very important. People come to school of philosophy for what? To study philosophy. What do they want to study philosophy for? To know the truth. What do they want to know the truth for? They may not know. To be known as intellectual. Now, why do you want to be known as intellectual? It's something I feel good, I feel. Okay, it makes me. Why do you want to feel good? Now, why do you want to feel superior or somewhat respected or recognized as somebody intellectual? Ultimately, everything boils down to what? No? Somewhere you want to get a smallness. Therefore, teach. First of all, don't go to Vedanta. See, I tell you the basic thing, don't need to talk about Veda, Anta in any word, okay? Just teach them what is the goal of life. This has to be very clear. Goal of life means, what I'm saying, goal means there's one particular destination and I have to go there. That is the goal. Others are not important. I don't say that. What is the ultimate? What is it ultimately I want? This is what I want. But what are the other things I want in life? Be very clear. I want this. I want artha. I want kama. I want dharma. But what it can give, what it cannot give. This is what makes me understand. I don't say some people teach wrong things also. Don't touch money. Don't touch, do this. That's what the anju. It's a big problem. No, be disciplined, don't do this. That's not foolish. You can't swim against the current. You have to live in conformity with the nature. You can't go against the nature. So we need all those things. Understand what is it for, what it can give, what it cannot give. What artha, what do I mean by artha first, artha pursuit? Or if you don't see what all, you can say, this is what is artha pursuit. Teach what is artha first. Then what it can give, what it cannot give. This is what understanding the limitation of what artha cannot give. Artha cannot give me happiness at all. Artha can make me feel secure. It's a time-bound security, time-bound pleasure. You can give me time-bound pleasure, you can give me time-bound security, but there's no real happiness. Real happiness, but there's no, I mean, it doesn't solve all my problems. Possession of artha does not solve all my problems. It doesn't free me from my emotional problems. Everything we have, what we don't have. So similarly, kama, for pleasures. The pleasures are important. Pleasures, what it can do, what it cannot do. Pleasure, for a length of time, it can help me forget my problems. But still, it doesn't help me to forget my problems forever. That is incapacity, okay? That is the limitation of the pleasure. So what is dharma? Living a life of value is very, very, very important. That is the only way as a human, I can say I live a conscious life. If I don't live a life of dharma, I'm not living a conscious life. I'm living like a dead animal. I'm a sensitive person. If I say I have to claim myself to be a sensitive, alert person who lives my, who lives one's life consciously, then one should live a life of dharma, the values. That is how that is the only way I can contribute for the non-disturbance of the order. Otherwise, I disturb the order. But what is the limitation of that dharma? If I disturb the order, I will be disturbed by the order. That's a different thing. But even that is not enough. Even living a life of dharma is not enough sometimes. Not sometimes, definitely is not enough. What is limitation of dharma? What is the necessity of living a life of dharma? Advantage of living a life of dharma? What is the wrong consequence of not living a life of dharma? At the same time, what is the limitation of dharma? What it cannot do? Understand? And that is where you understand the importance of the value, the invaluable value of the knowledge. Then, okay, knowledge of what? Truth. Why? What I want is that what is actually unaffectedness? No? Freedom from emotional problems, dependence. And that is only when I know the truth. Therefore, knowledge of truth is ultimately for my ultimate end. And not only ultimate, it's a choiceless end. See, people should know it's a choiceless end. Only then all the people of all walks of life should line up to knowledge. Seeking admission for school of philosophy.
If I can just say, I think you've given a wonderful lecture today. I mean, I feel so grateful to you for actually clarifying certain things for me. But coming back to teaching, one of the things that teaching does for those of us who are ordinary people, by teaching, it clarifies for the teacher as well as for the person being taught.
Yeah.
There is a value in that kind of teaching. I think.
Pardon?
There is a value in that kind of teaching, I think. When one teaches, why is one impelled to teach? It's because you feel you have knowledge to pass on. But you teach, and through the act of teaching, also, your knowledge becomes purified.
Clarity enhances, but sometimes there is again the point, okay, again the degree of clarity. It cannot be, no. Of course, clarity enhances, I don't say no. Again, see, the sharing knowledge is a joy, always is a joy, because knowledge itself is joy. Any knowledge always is joy. Because that is the nature, okay? We cannot keep quiet. that is the reason. I don't say usually, Amma. All of us, I'm saying. We have to be doing something or the other. Because we're helpless. Prakriti jayahi gunahi karma kana karma karyate. Gita says that. We cannot, suppose if I know something and I cannot remain quiet. That's not true, actually. One can remain quiet. In fact, that's why in real knowledge, one becomes completely free from the pressure of wanting to do anything, including teaching. Okay? But the prarabdha vashate, the prarabdha one has to live. So somebody stumbles upon, we teach. Why do you think I ran away from India to UK? I have done a lot of work, enough. I won't be doing anything, I'll remain quiet. But coming here, I'm slowly hearted making noise now.
Swamiji, could I just ask a question that came? There's a point.
What did you can take this away now? What did you?
He says when the prarabdha is exhausted, the subtle body becomes resolved.
Yeah. No. Yeah, prarabdha alone gets resolved.
Exhausted.
No. See what I'm saying? Yeah, tell me. Finish your question.
No, I found that strange.
Okay. What I'm saying, PTG, if a person, as a jivan muktaha, jnani lives, okay? A jnani has a body, mind, sense complex, but in his ascertained vision, he has, relatively, he knows he has his body, mind, sense complex. He does identify with his body's complex relatively, but in absolute sense, he knows very clearly he is not the body mind's complex. And he knows I, the self, am the Atma, the consciousness. Understand? Therefore, as Atma is of the nature of actionlessness, he has no doership, he has no enjoyership. He is free from that. But still, he is doing his actions not as a means, sadhanam, means for accomplishing anything, not as a desire-impelled expression, but for the loka sangraham. Why? He has prarabdha. The jnani cannot, okay? He is a jnani, but still has a prarabdha, is there? Prarabdha means this body, this ordained lifespan for this given physical body. As long as that ordained lifespan is there in a given physical body, and that is called prarabdha. There are some pleasures and pains will be to be exhausted. But the jnani is not affected by prarabdha. Why? There is no bhoktrutvam. Enjoyership is not there.
Yeah.
Listen carefully. There is no enjoyership for the jnani. The jnani is free from enjoyership. Why? Because he is free from doership. Why? Because he has no identity with the body, mind, sense complex anymore. He is free from the notion that I am the enjoyer. Understand? Therefore, he is not affected by pain or pleasure. Second thing, he is not dependent on anything, any external situation for his happiness. Any pleasure comes, it's like a big ocean, the small stream of water joining the big ocean. Doesn't increase the size of the ocean. Doesn't reduce the size of the ocean also. Understand? So anything, the jnani is not dependent on anything external for his happiness, and nothing can really, external situation, the undesirable also cannot cause bring unhappiness to the jnani, or cannot really add to the happiness that the jnani already has. Is it clear now?
Yeah.
So he is not unaffected by the prarabdha. But when the prarabdha gets over, prarabdha is exhausted, because jnani is free from enjoyership and doership, and the sukshma sharira will resolve. Why resolves? Because jnani is already free from the hold of desires. Jnani is already limitless fullness, person of fullness, limitlessness and happiness. He is free from inadequacy, he is free from sense of limitations, he is free from needs and desires. He is completely free from all sorts of pressures. Understand? Therefore, the disease are all, even while when he is alive, will exhausting the paradha. As long as the paradha karupalam is there, the body is alive. When the paradha gets over, the soul has to depart the, not the soul actually, the sukshma has to depart the physical body. When it leaves physical body, this becomes disintegrated and then becomes the, okay, joins the elements, respective elements. But the sukshma, I say, resolves. The sukshma will not be there. Why? Because the mind is resolved. What do you mean by the word mind? What do I mean by saying mind is resolved? Because diseases are resolved. Diseases do not rise. Why? Needs are not there. Why needs are not there? Inadequacy is not there. Why? Because sense of limitation is not there. Why? Limitlessness is there. Because fullness is there, discovered. Understand? When the mind is resolved, then the sense powers and the pranas and the powers of organs of affection also resolve along with the mind. Then sukshma, what happened to sukshma? Resolved. Sukshma is not there anymore. What happened to it? Resolved. If the sukshma is not there, assumption of another body is not there, then what happened to the Sanchita and Agami? He is free from Sanchita and Agami. Shankaracharya says in this Nirvana, this Sopana Panchakam, like the threshold lamp which is kept outside, it illumines the outside of the room, it also illumines the inside of the room. It is in the middle. Similarly, the jnanam, frees him from, because he is free from enjoyership anymore. See, as long as you have enjoyership, you have punya papa. Understand? When you are free from enjoyership, where is the punya papa? Who has punyam and papam? Does Atma have punya and papa? No. Like that, Agami and Jnanam removes, just as a threshold lamp removes the darkness inside the room and outside the room, the Jnanam removes the Agami and Sanchitam. Because Jnana is free from doership and enjoyership, he has no more Agami and Sanchitam. Paradha has to be exhausted. Even a Jnani has to leave his Paradha. But while exhausting the Paradha, he is not affected by Paradha. So punyapas, that way one need not completely destroy all one's vasana. It's impossible.
That's why I found it strange.
It's impossible.
You can never exhaust it totally.
No, because always you have some account in your...
Exactly.
Really speaking, Pitiji, even now, this prarada agami sanchitam, prarada is the present life one has to live. Understand? Because the assumed body, it is within the realm of order. It has to be exhausted. Whether you have the body, don't have the body, it's all the notion, okay? The shift in understanding is everything. When do you have, I am the doer? If you think you are the doer, you are the doer.
So
similarly, the notion, I am the enjoyer. As long as you enjoy, you have punyam, you have papam, you have sukham and dukkham.
So
once you are free from punya papam, where is the sanchita agami?
So when the body
falls,
that is the equivalent of saying prarabdha.
Over, yeah.
So prarabdha is exhausted.
Every time somebody dies, that person's prarabdha is over.
Again.
Every birth, every present life is prarabdha. Present life means what?
Prarabdha.
The birth, the death, and the in between what one goes through, the prarabdha. Birth and death is all prarabdha. And the parentage is prarabdha. Why this mother, why this father is prarabdha. That's why we have no choice. We never choose our parents, no? devil choose where you were born.
So vasana is sanchitta agami plus prarabdha, all together, which can never be exhausted.
Sanchita agami will always be there as long as ajnanam is there. That is why people think by doing karma, do karma, do karma, do karma, exhaust, exhaust, exhaust means it will never be exhausted. The more you exhaust, the more you also acquire. As you spend, you earn as well. As you spend, you also accumulate. That is why you will be exhausting. As you do karma, you will be exhausting. While exhausting, you're also accumulating. You're helpless. It is impossible. That is why total kshayam, total vasana kshaya is impossible. You don't need to do any effort at all. Just to know you're free. That is why knowledge is, if we had, but only by doing I had to free myself, it will never happen. That is why the very teaching becomes wrong then, Peterji. What is the basic teaching? Erroneous. When you say pop, because all because of error in perception means what? Lack of ignorance due to the lack of ignorance, due to the lack of knowledge, due to the ignorance. Understand? Once you know, you are free from doership and enjoyership. You have punyam, you have papam, you have sukham, you have dukkham, you have pain and pleasure because you have enjoyership. What is enjoyership? Because you have a notion that you are the enjoyer. Why do you have the notion of the enjoyer? Because you have identity with the body, mind and complex. You say, I have, understand? If the physical pain is okay, but emotional I'm saying, mostly emotional. Emotional, mainly. Identity is there with the mind. See, identity with the mind is very difficult to take the identity from the mind. Decide who you are. There's a problem. That is why objective, how are you going to learn to objectify your own mind? This is Shastra study. Because it's inseparability, you know. Inseparability, closeness. Because of the closeness.